She loves it hot. He loves it cold. However you sleep, the pod by 8 Sleep adapts to you. Get up to $350 off with code DEEPSLEEP at 8sleep.com.
Some crimes are so shocking, they don't just make headlines, they forever change our society. I'm Katie Ring, host of America's Most Infamous Crimes. Each week, I take on one of the most notorious criminal cases. Each case unfolds across multiple episodes, released every Tuesday through Thursday, from the first sign that something was wrong to the moment the truth came out or didn't. Listen to and follow America's Most Infamous Crimes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Good morning, Larry Richard with Anchorman Paul Rasmussen, and one of our team members, former producer, spent 5 years locked in a room with Shumway and I, is Andy Lindberg, who leads our digital team. And a big release. This just came out seconds ago.
Yeah, well, you said I worked with you for 5 years. If you're watching on the stream, I'm actually only 20 years old, but I look 40. No, but Larry, this is exciting. We got three big acts that are going to be headlining the NFL draft entertainment portion. It's not just picking players. It's a whole atmosphere, as we've been talking about for months. And we got Kane Brown, country superstar, Wiz Khalifa, Pittsburgh rapper, and Butler County's own Bret Michaels from Poison.
You knew he had to be involved somehow, some way, which is cool.
He's a mega Steelers fan. Bret Michaels, he's always on social media twirling his terrible towel. So this will be down on the North Shore during the draft. And it's going to be starting, of course, on, well, I think April 23rd is whenever they're going to be doing that NFL draft experience, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, noon to 10 on Thursday and Friday. And then on Saturday, the final day of the draft, 9 to 6.
And how about the coverage parameters? You've got NFL draft presented by Bud Light. It's going to air with NFL Network, NFL Plus, the NFL Channel, ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, and ESPN for the Spanish in Deport.
And this is going to be a Sunday night football game on steroids for the city of Pittsburgh and exposure. And it kind of feels like we're really starting to get down to it now. We've been talking about this for, what, 2 years?
Yeah, and we just talked to Vice President of Global Events for the NFL in the last hour, and she said, actually, the planning is about 2 years for each city. They've got a model that they can use because they've done this, obviously, in other cities like Green Bay and Detroit more recently, but first time ever in Pittsburgh.
It's kind of funny, though, because I know they've been planning for 2 years, and there's been a lot of details and everything being worked out over a long time. But from my perspective, and I think a lot of Pittsburgh's perspective, it's this, oh crap, we're having a party, and we need to clean the house real quick. You know, like that hurry up and get it done kind of thing. Even though I know that they've been planning for a long time, it still feels like that, oh no, that's tomorrow? You know?
Talking to Rich Fitzgerald yesterday, yeah, because he's one of those people that's involved in these meetings, and as the buildup gets closer and closer, learned a lot of things, like the Immaculate Collection, 400 tons of garbage so far, then the effort in the city to get abandoned cars off the streets and neighborhoods, which, and somebody said to me, and this is typical, why did they do all this stuff before? Mm-hmm. But the end result is, after the draft, we're going to have a cleaner, more amenities, and brighter future overall.
You can be a pessimist or an optimist about it. I choose to be an optimist about it, where, yes, we're getting the draft. That's one positive. And you can make the excuse, well, why don't they just do this? But we're going to benefit from it after. You know, we're going to have Arts Landing now. We're going to have a refurbished Market Square. We're going to have an upgraded Point State Park. You know, like, let's just enjoy it after it's gone as well. It's a win-win for the city and less garbage, like you said, and all those cars getting removed.
And a lot of people who will be coming in from out of town may start arriving as early as, I don't know, Monday, the week of the draft, or Tuesday, certainly by Wednesday, we have our own Night Before event with Jason Aldean, an exclusive event. We just gave away tickets. We have some ticket drop locations, including tonight, 6 to 7 at Sensi's Pizzeria and Bar up in Cranberry. You have a chance to win tickets that way, but it's only 2,500 people, and this is a guy that could fill a stadium.
Well, and I don't want to do my Rich Fitzgerald impression here, but this is going to affect the entire area. I was talking with the boss of a pizza place out in Robinson, and he was telling me they're treating this like it's going to be the Super Bowl every day, because Super Bowl was one of the busiest pizza days of the year, along with Halloween. And
Halloween?
Halloween, yeah, because nobody wants to cook. Everyone's trick-or-treating, so they all order pizza before the kids go trick-or-treating. But I'm a former pizza guy, so I know the ins and outs.
You do.
But they are planning for a lot of big business in Robinson Township, because that's one of the main arteries in the Pittsburgh from the airport. And all those hotels along the line are going to be packed. And the more packed it is downtown and the more restaurants that are filled up there, it's going to keep, you know, moving outwards. So the suburb restaurants are probably going to see a boon.
Well, the truth is, we don't know exactly what to expect. We know there'll be a lot of people here, but keep in mind, it is spread out over the days of the event. And they just released the NFL Draft Experience programming windows. So on Thursday, and by the way, Thursday night is the first round picks, and that's a big primetime national event. But the programming around the city will start at noon till 10 o'clock, then Friday noon to 10, and Saturday 9 to 6. And then things will wrap up and people will be heading out of town probably on Sunday, maybe even on Monday.
Even Falling Water out in Fayette County, they're expecting an increase in tourism, because they're there. If you love football and you've always wanted to see some place like this, or Nemacol, and they're having an event as well, this is going to be felt in the entire region. And it's not just going to be those 3 days. There's going to be the buildup with people, like you said, people coming in early Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, before the draft begins officially on Thursday.
And the best way to follow all this, visit Pittsburgh.com, a great resource. We have a link at KDKRadio.com. And then download that free NFL One Pass app.
Yeah, if you're going down there, you definitely want that.
Because that's how you get your free ticket. You have to have a mobile ticket, even though it doesn't cost you anything. And all the rules apply to get through security like you would be going to a Steelers game.
Let's just hope that cell phone tower they put up at Point State Park can handle all that bandwidth that's going to be. Because we're going to be down there. I hope we're not, lagging behind.
All right. Again, just released some big names of entertainment for the NFL draft. Kane Brown, Wiz Khalifa, and Bret Michaels.
Yeah, and this isn't a concert. You're not going to need to buy tickets. This is all going to be part of that experience.
So get your mobile app that is NFL One Pass. Andy, thank you.
Thanks. It'll be here before you know it.
Here we go.
Then we'll be complaining about it being gone.
Andy Lindberg. Then it'll be the marathon. That's like right after.
It's just two. One after the other.
We're kind of a big deal in Pittsburgh now.
I've always felt that, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's proven now.
919 at KDKA from the Goldberg, Persky & White, Pioneers and Asbestos Litigation News Desk. Let's check in with Paul Rasmussen.
Well, the U.S. Senate has passed some legislation to fully fund, well, almost fully fund, the Department of Homeland Security, with the exception of ICE and Customs and Border Protection. We'll have the details coming up in 12 minutes on the Voice of Pittsburgh, News Radio, KDKA.
Think of the stories today, Paul. Just, you think of the war, obviously, most important in terms of human lives and what it can mean for the future. President Trump addressing that last night. And then this journey to the moon, garnering international interest as well. And the first time in 53 years. And just all of the stories. Then you drill down and we just had some news coming out more and more each and every day about the NFL draft here.
What I do like about the cross-section of the news, a lot of it is upbeat. There's a lot of positive stuff, and I like that. I don't enjoy being a prophet of doom.
I never thought of it that way, but when you're...
It's nice to tell people what the good things are as well, right?
Yeah, but by nature, news is the unusual. So you're reporting on it. A lot of times it's the darker side of what people do.
Yeah.
And that's why we take so much time to highlight our hometown heroes, because there are many more people doing the right thing on a daily basis, but they don't get the attention. The same thing with social media. As Marty says, I'm looking at Marty in the newsroom, if you don't light your hair on fire on social media, who cares? Nobody follows you. Or what did they say in some news departments being accused of,
clickbait.
Clickbait. Same thing it's been for many years for talk show hosts,
throw whatever it out moves there. The needle, right?
Right. So in the meantime, wanted to share this story about an airline issue on American Airlines.
The American Airlines regional jet experienced a hydraulic issue, prompting the pilots to divert to Philadelphia. Now, the CRJ-700 uses hydraulics to lower its landing gear. So if that system apparently isn't working, the pilots would have to do that by hand.
Billy Burns, Blue Street, 5422, emergency aircraft. We're going to need delayed vectors for manual gear extension. We've got 69 souls on board, and we have about 2 hours and 20 minutes still on board.
So how do you do that? There is a lever in the cockpit central console. The pilot pulls that lever up, which releases the locks, securing the gear. Gravity then pulls them down and into place, allowing for the plane to safely land in Philadelphia.
The safest thing to do is to land the airplane as soon as you can.
Former NTSB chair Robert Sumwalt is a retired 737 captain.
The good thing is we have redundant systems. So if one of these hydraulic systems fails, there are alternate means to fly the airplane. And I've had to extend the landing gear manually on 3 occasions. You're trained for this in the simulator. The procedure works very well.
Flight 5422 was flying from Washington, D.C. by PSA for American. American says the plane has been taken out of service to be inspected by its maintenance team. The passengers were put on another aircraft to Maine. The FAA is now investigating. Chris Van Cleve, CBS News, Houston.
Isn't it nice to hear about these stories of redundancy in aircraft for safety's sake?
Yeah, but if you're on board, you're going, uh-oh.
I was on an aircraft once that had a landing gear issue. I was flying from Wilkes-Barre to Pittsburgh with a stop in Allentown on the way, and apparently the landing gear broke, if you want to call it that, during landing in Allentown. So when we took off and they tried to raise the gear, it wouldn't go up. So they just flew a little slower down to Philadelphia, and that's where it got scary, Larry, because we did a low pass over the field, where the control tower is, and you get all these guys up in the control tower.
You could see them.
With their binoculars, and the plane, they were trying to tell the captain whether or not the gear was down and locked. He couldn't be sure because the indicator was not working on the cockpit panel. It turned out it was no big deal, but, for a while there, it was pretty tense.
Yeah, I have flown a lot. Do you feel safer now?
Yes.
Than ever before?
But again, you don't hear me doing newscasts that say, another 400 flights flew off and landed at Pittsburgh International safely today, right? The only time we have any reporting on what's going on at the airport is when something happens, even if it's just a technical issue, they have to return for an emergency landing or something like that. And so that when we're calling attention to these things, and then we've had a couple of really bad collision accidents in the last, 6 to 9 months. We had the helicopter collision with the regional jet at Washington's airport, Reagan. And then we had, just a few days ago, the Air Canada regional jet that hit the fire truck crossing the runway.
That, and both incidents could have been avoided.
Yes,
these incidents are obviously avoided, and there have been close calls in the past, but that situation with the fire truck, and we heard the audio of the tower talking to driver of the truck who was cleared to cross that runway initially.
And from what I understand, Larry, from the moment that the regional jet was wheels down to the time that it hit the fire truck was just mere seconds. There was nothing they could have done.
No, it was traveling at a high rate of speed. And
close to 100 miles an hour.
They didn't see it coming. And in between, we're going to talk to Marty Griffin, and we'll do that in this half hour, little preview. And tomorrow is the Pirates home opener at PNC Park. And somebody's here who was just in Cincinnati yesterday to watch the Bucks, but he's a Pittsburgher, Doug Saltzman. Normally we talk to Doug about political things, but I don't even want to talk about the president's speech last night. His work for the late Senator Arlen Specter and many other elected officials, been a lobbyist. Doug, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Larry. I'd rather talk Pirate baseball than politics any day.
Well,
yeah, absolutely.
Let's be honest. Sports was always meant to be a pleasurable distraction from the grind of whatever anybody was doing in any given era.
Yeah, my parents would talk about World War II and how, I mean, they were young then, old enough to remember things and know what was going on. And it was always nice to have baseball to listen to. You know, it was just a way to get away from things at the time. And baseball, you know, was played all through World War II. And they said it was a nice relief to have games to listen to or attend over at Forbes Field.
Yeah, and you had a chance to be in Cincinnati yesterday for the getaway game with Paul Skeens pitching, always an attraction. And he, after the opener, where he was bounced after two-thirds innings in the first, went through five and only gave up one hit. He seems to be okay, right?
Yeah, dropped his ERA by 60 points. I think that might be a record all time in baseball. Had a 65 ERA after that not-so-great start. Of course, it wasn't really his fault what happened in that first game, giving up the 3-run triple. But, yeah, he was back on target. They said the attendance was about 15,000 and change yesterday at Great American Ballpark, but it didn't look like that many people. And I would say 20% were Pirate fans who were groaning when they took him out after 77 pitches in the fifth inning. So but he got the win, which is a good sign, of course.
And then tomorrow also marks the 25th season for PNC Park. That seems hard to believe. We keep referring it as the new ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, Three Rivers Stadium was only 30 years old when it closed. So, yeah, we're already at a quarter century mark for this. And, yeah, I went to the first three games. Of course, there were two exhibition games, you might recall, against the Mets before PNC Park opened back in 2001. And then, of course, the opening day game. And I was lucky enough to get to go to all three of those games, including taking my second oldest daughter, who's now in her mid-20s. She was 7 months old at the time, so she can say she was at PNC Park for one of its first games. So, yeah, it's hard to believe, a quarter century. What a great stadium, though. And let me tell you, Great American Ballpark is a great stadium as well. It really is very nice. Not as good as PNC, naturally. Doesn't have that view of the skyline. But another very nice park. You would think it's PNC Park. There's PNC signs everywhere at Great American Ballpark. It's kind of funny to see all that. But it was a good day yesterday. Nice win for the Bucks.
Yeah, that said, I'm just curious in terms of feeling something's changed in the offseason. Obviously, you're a baseball fan. You feel that too?
Yeah, I do. And I talk to the folks who know much more than me about baseball, which isn't saying a whole lot, I guess. But, it's just a whole different situation. They've got they've got a payroll now over $100 million. So they're actually maybe being serious about, okay, let's get the right people here. And let's keep him here. And with Connor Griffin, I have a feeling he'll be up before the end of April, probably no later than May. That seemed like a different feeling this year. And people were groaning after, you know, a 1-3 start. You know, that's life. And now they're 500 coming into the home opener tomorrow. So, it does seem like a different feeling. That's for sure.
And Mitch Keller will be on the mound. Ceremonially, I think baseball has the greatest opening days for each team. Even people that maybe might not follow the team very closely, something special about opening day.
Yeah, it's spring. Spring's in the air. You know, all those cliches. And I went to a lot of opening days naturally over the years, especially when I was in junior high and high school. The joke was, you know, me and my buddies would start coughing on the afternoon at school before opening day, and the teachers would say, "Boy, it sounds like you're getting a cold. I bet you're not going to be here tomorrow." So we would play hooky. And I remember the days of Town Talk bread. If you had six Town Talk bread wrappers, you could get a youth admission ticket for free to get into Three Rivers Stadium. So me and my buddies would be sitting on the 46G bus coming out of the Elizabeth bus. It came through Baldwin, where we lived, Baldwin and Whitehall, and we'd have a handful of Tom Todd bread wrappers, and we'd get in for free with a general admission youth ticket, which at the time was probably $2.50, for heaven's sake. But we had the Tom Todd bread wrappers to get a free ticket.
Well, I appreciate you checking in. Glad you made it to Cincy to see Skeens and the Bucks win the series, win the game. And we'll talk to you about politics down the road. Thanks, Doug.
All right. Have a good day, Larry. Thank you.
Doug Saltzman on the Big K Morning Show. The other big story yesterday, the launch of Artemis II.
We start in space. The crew of Artemis II is currently orbiting Earth on their 10-day mission around the moon and back. A few hours earlier, a successful launch was watched and cheered by crowds across the country. Artemis II's historic blastoff caused the Washington Monument to be lit up in celebration. The crew of three Americans and one Canadian are expected to travel a record 252,000 miles away from Earth. But first up for the crew is an intense day one of testing multiple spacecraft systems with just 4 hours of sleep scheduled. CBS's Christian Benavides is at the Kennedy Space Center with more on the launch and what to expect during the mission. You were on the ground to witness this launch. What was it like?
We are just about 2 to 3 miles from the launch pad, and we felt the ground shake. We were on the rooftop here at the CBS News building at the Kennedy Space Center, and we felt the building shake. It was quite an incredible moment. All of it after liftoff happened at 6:35 p.m. yesterday, marking a new chapter in space exploration.
It was an amazing ride uphill.
The crew of Artemis II now in orbit.
We forgot how beautiful it is to look down on Earth.
Hours after a successful launch from Florida's Kennedy Space Center.
Booster ignition and liftoff.
Roughly 9 million pounds of thrust propelled the four-person team on NASA's first manned moon mission in more than 50 years, shaking the nearby CBS News set and igniting cheers from crowds who came to watch history in the making.
It was the coolest thing I've seen ever.
Last night, President Trump congratulated NASA and the crew.
They are on the way, and God bless them. These are brave people.
The crew will get an unprecedented view of the far side of the moon and set a record for the farthest distance ever traveled from Earth.
This NASA animation shows the possible flight path of the 10-day mission around the moon and back. Throughout that time, the crew will test Orion spacecraft systems and engines before a planned splashdown in the Pacific Ocean.
We'll keep gathering data over the next 10 days. We'll share updates, but we'll call success when they're in the water safely.
The mission is a critical first step towards sending astronauts back to the surface of the moon in 2028 and eventually constructing a permanent moon base.
That moon base could potentially be a launch pad for deep space exploration and maybe one day in the future even go to Mars.
And I'll be following that, I'm sure, millions of people around the world, their journey around the moon.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.